Matt is in the kitchen deciding which cupboard will be saucepans and which is tall enough to hold the cereal boxes. I am in the bedroom unpacking our clothes. Our bedroom is the emptiest it will ever be. We haven't built the bed yet. It's in pieces, leaning against the walls so it looks like there are ladders leading from our apartment to the one above. Last night we slept on bath towels with rolled-up jumpers instead of pillows. When we woke, Matt had cable-knit patterns pressed into his cheek. I closed my eyes, ran my fingers over his face, and read him like Braille. "This is the beginning," I read. And he said, "Amen to that," turning the other cheek, which was similarly indented. It would have been the perfect moment to make love. But we hadn't the curtains up yet, and the neighbors could see right into our room from their kitchen. This afternoon, our furniture arrived. My father loaned a van of Uncle Graham and drove it over on the Larne Kenryon ferry, all the way down in one go and straight back up for the last boat home. We didn't ask him to do this. He insisted. My father likes to play the martyr. "It's a wild long run by yourself," I said. "Would you not like Matt for company?"
"I'll be grand myself," he replied. "I'll take half an hour in the Gretna services."
This was his way of saying,
"I won't stop you leaving, but I'll be misery itself if you do."
For weeks he'd been running a kind of sales pitch every time we mentioned moving. He wanted us to stay put. He couldn't bear the thought of grandchildren he would hardly ever see. He had read in the paper that Belfast was one of the best cities in Europe now, maybe even the world.
"For what exactly?"
Matt asked every time he said this. And Dad couldn't remember, but he thought it was either young people or restaurants.
"No offence, Mr. Campbell," said Matt, "but Belfast shite. We'll never get anywhere here. If you're at all serious about your career, you've to move to London."
"There's nothing for us in Belfast," I added. This was not entirely true. It was also cruel. But Matt demanded solidarity on important issues such as politics and moving to the mainland and why he'd taken to wearing a suit jacket casually with jeans.
"Right,"
said Dad.
"On your own heads be it."
This was the thing he always said when a line had been drawn and there was no talking round it. Round he came with heavy-duty bin liners and packing boxes, booked the van to Scotland and loaded it up himself. He'd have carted our sofas to Russia if it meant getting shot of us quicker. I wanted to say, "It's not you I'm done with, Dad. It's this place." But I knew he couldn't tell the difference. Early this afternoon, he pulled up outside our apartment and sat on the horn till we came down. "Meep, meep, meep," it went, like a labouring cow. People in other apartments peeked their blinds to glare. It was a muggy day. My father had stripped down to his vest, lardy winter skin lining his sunburn just above the elbow like the two halves of a drumstick lolly. He'd been in the van for hours, windows up, blowers stirring stale heat, and smelt ripe. We did not touch. His arms were full of bedside cabinet, then bookcase, bed and dining room table. When empty, they were already reaching for the next load. They had no interest in holding me. Though he's a man of almost 70, my father sweated everything out of the van himself, piling our furniture up on the pavement so passers-by could see all our belongings, even our toilet brush and the box-marked underwear.
"Did you get a good eyeful?"
he called after anyone who slowed to stare. His voice was vinegar sharp on the vowels, butter on the consonants. I'd already begun to tune the old tongue out and balked at the sound of him, as if catching my own voice on the answering machine. How odd he looked here in London, with the joggers slamming by and the possibility of Japanese food just half a block away. More real and also less than he was in Belfast. Older. He would not stop for dinner. He took a cup of tea standing up, a round of toast with jam, and was back on the road before 3. "Text me when you get in," I said, but he never did.